This morning, we're going to start in the verse 1 of chapter 3. We're going to really focus in on 11 through 16, but if we don't have 1 through 10, 11 through 16 won't make sense. So we're gonna read starting in verse 1 there, chapter 3 of Acts. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What an incredible story that is. Incredible story. I really enjoy it. And, you know, I'm going to start out this morning by saying, what if I told you all that I do not believe in the power of prayer? Don't believe in the power of prayer. I don't see anyone running from the doors yet. That's good. That's good. And I know what you're thinking. Paul, we literally just heard you pray a couple times. You know, what's going on? You know, and let me explain. You know, last week we looked at how the early church kind of got started. We looked at their inner life, what happened after they experienced the coming of the Holy Spirit, how they began to devote themselves to learning from the apostles, those that had been with Jesus from the time he started his ministry all the way till his ascension into heaven. They devoted themselves to fellowship, to sharing their inner lives, their thoughts, their feelings, sharing their stuff with one another. They shared their faith with one another. There are people that remembered and proclaimed the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus through partaking the Lord's Supper, and they devoted themselves to being people of prayer. And then we get here to chapter 3, and we see Peter, and we see John, and this lame man. And for the attentive reader, as you read this, and you look, and you see what they do, you might be confused and think, "I thought I was in the book of Acts, and this looks like it's something that should be in one of the Gospels." Except this time, it's not Jesus doing it, it's Peter. And something is going on here. And as the people run together, as it says in verse 11, to see what has happened to this man, they look at him, and they don't just look at him in wonder, they look at Peter and John too, and they think, "What in the world? Who are these guys, and what is going on with them?" And Peter, of course, casually responds with, "Why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if it's something we did by our own ability or godliness, by our own goodness?" And so before we continue, let me clarify my opening statement a little bit here. I don't believe in the power of prayer. What I'm saying is, I don't believe that there's any right words or magic formula that it comes to when we pray that's going to instantly give us what we're looking for. I don't believe that just because someone is a pastor or an elder or has, you know, some people think we have like God on speed dial. I've encountered that several times in life. You know, the power of prayer or anything that we do as Christians doesn't come from our ability or our godliness or the fact that we can say the words just right. The power comes from somewhere else. And I bring this up because I feel like I've encountered so many Christians in my life who struggle with feeling able to live the Christian life. We had that same thought expressed today, this morning. The struggle with living the Christian life. They never pray aloud because they don't know what to say, or they don't know how to say it, or they think they don't sound right. They don't talk about their faith because maybe you don't think you have a really dynamic testimony of how you were this awful person and then God came in your life and you just completely changed. Maybe you don't have a story of how you were lame and now you could walk. And maybe you wonder, how could I possibly influence people for Jesus? I don't, you know, I feel so unequipped maybe. You know, and I know sometimes we struggle to read the Bible or do other things that we think a good Christian should do. And for whatever reason. And I know this because I felt this way many times in my own faith. I've felt so many times that I don't feel good enough or godly enough or have my life together enough to be able to be used by God. And on the other side, sometimes I think in church we kind of can tend to gravitate toward those people that we do think have it all together. Those people that we do think, boy, have you heard them pray? It sounds so good. They must have it all figured out when it comes to God. Sometimes we can turn people in church into celebrities. And Lord knows we like our celebrities in today's time for sure. But this can kind of become dangerous. I feel like as a leader in the church and as leaders in the church, we have to be really careful to remember to not make things about us, to not make it about me. Because what we see throughout the Bible is we see God choose a lot of people and anoint a lot of people in the Bible for doing certain things, and he gives a lot of gifts, but so many times it's not who you think, right? We have the story of Moses, the stuttering murderer who comes back, and you know, I just read Exodus 3, 4, and 5 this week, and it's amazing how much Moses tries to talk God out of doing what God wants him to do. It doesn't work, but he tries so hard. You know, we think about King David, who comes to mind, who was the youngest person in his family, who so many others overlooked. And, you know, so instead of feeling like we aren't good enough or that we don't have the ability or feeling like it's all about us, like, you know, maybe God has made us special for some reason. You know, maybe we should examine a little bit more and a little bit closer what Peter says here. And so let's read 12 through 16 one more time. It starts and he says, "When Peter saw this, he said to them, 'Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if it's by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and faith and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see." You know, if you remember when we started this journey through Acts, I said it really should be renamed, not the Acts of the Apostles, but the Acts of Jesus through the Apostles. And here's such a good example why. Peter credits everything that just happened, not to himself, but to Jesus. He says, "Don't stare at me. Don't get tunnel vision at me just because God did this thing through me. It's not by our own power or godliness that this is possible." And I love how Peter gives the credit over to Jesus. He's humble enough to recognize it's not about me, it's about Jesus. And I think this is possible because the Spirit of Jesus is now part of Peter's life. And so he can pray and he can ask, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And Peter here is saying that there's, and Peter, I think, is here saying exactly what I said, that there's no power in his prayer alone. There's no power in his prayer alone. No power in a religious formula of bowing your heads or putting your hands together and saying the exact right words. No, the power comes from the one that we are praying to. The power comes from the relationship we have with the one that we're praying to and with. The power is in the person and the character of Jesus. The power comes from the faith of Jesus Christ as God has exalted him to the right hand of the Father, exalted him to this place of authority. And so when you or I share prayers, when we get up the nerve to actually say that prayer, or we get up to talk about our faith, whatever it is, I think we can feel a lot more confident and equipped than we do, because we know it's not about us. The power doesn't come from our ability to share or to pray. It comes from Jesus. It comes from Him. And now, like certainly like everything in life, we get better as we practice and as we exercise. And so I'm not saying just don't worry about it. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is don't disqualify yourself because you don't feel like you're able to do it. Because the point here is Jesus. It's not about you, and it's not about what you say. Notice here that when Peter speaks, he refers to the name of Jesus. You know, and even when we speak nowadays, when we talk about someone's name, immediately our minds go to what that person's like. Every time I hear the name Katie, you know, certain things come to my mind. Certain wonderful things come to my mind. And that's because our minds naturally associate names with our experiences and with people. And this is even more true when it comes to the biblical names. As one author writes, he says, in Hebrew thought, a name is inseparable from the person to whom it belongs. It is something of his essence. It is something of his essence. And so when we act in and through the direction in the life of Jesus, we can rest in his power, his ability, and his faithfulness to us. And especially when we feel like God has laid something on our heart that we just know we're supposed to do it. In the Bible, those are called rhemas, when God gives us a special word that we are to go and speak or do, and we can know it without a doubt. And we know that no matter how crazy it sounds, if we go and we're faithful to it, that God will make sure it comes true. That it is exactly, it's going to do exactly what God wants. And so I think it's not said in the passage, but I believe when Peter encountered this man and he stopped and he stared at him, I believe in that moment God said, you need to pray for him right here and now. Because we notice that throughout Jesus' life and throughout the apostles' life, they encounter a lot of people. Some of them they pray for and ask to be healed, some of them they don't. And that's because we're led by the Spirit. And that's because God's word is powerful. The same God that spoke into creation to have it come into existence, the same God who spoke to Moses from the burning bush, the same God who spoke to the prophets and who spoke uniquely in and through Jesus still speaks today and still speaks through His Spirit, if we develop ears to hear, because God's Word is creative power within us. And so our life and our ability as Christians come from our understanding and our relationship with our Savior. And so I want to end on a couple of implications of what this might mean for us. The first is that it means that Christianity is a massively inclusive religion. It's a massively inclusive religion. And what I mean by this is, you don't have to be the best and the brightest to come and do what God wants you to do. And praise God for that, because I definitely know that that is not me. We are told, like I mentioned earlier, we are mentioned so often in Scripture that it's people that are overlooked or unthought about that God chooses, because God wants us to know that we don't rest in ourselves, we rest in Him. Christianity is a massively inclusive religion because you don't have to be the best and the brightest to do what God wants you to do. You don't have to pray in this elegant manner. You don't have to memorize tons and tons of Scripture for God to bless you or anything like that. Our faith is a faith for the humble, for those that are willing to put confidence not in themselves, but in the Lord, but put their faith in Jesus. And that is so good, because In our time and in our society, the best and the brightest are often celebrated. They're the ones that we aspire to be. They're the ones that we look up to. And how good is it to know that for here in the church, we can aspire to be people that we might overlook. We can see things in other people and realize that that is an incredible gift that they have. And that's amazing. And as we're going to see in Acts more, the people, the religious leaders in Acts, they're kind of stunned. They're like, aren't you guys regular people? What are you doing these amazing things? And that's the beauty of Christianity. I have heard so many people tell me that they aren't church people, which is a whole other sermon. But I believe that Jesus says that everybody is his kind of people, not just certain ones. You don't have to be the best and brightest, and you don't have to be the most well-behaved either, because Jesus was a man of sinners and a man of the people. And praise God for that, because I know this church, and we aren't always the best behaved sometimes as well. But praise God, our faith is about Jesus. And secondly, I was thinking about this week, and I thought about, you know what this means also for us? This means that our youngest members of our church, our children, can teach us so much about faith. So many times we can overlook kids, and kids have this incredible ability to have a trust and a simple faith that sometimes we as adults can get too caught up in our heads thinking, oh, there's no way this is possible, or I'm smarter now, I know how this works, this is never going to happen, whereas kids, they just believe. And how wonderful is it? I think we should celebrate our kids. We need to pray for our kids' ministry here, definitely. We need to celebrate our kids as well. Because as this passage shows us, it takes faith. It doesn't take having this brilliant mind, this adult mind that we all have, to live this kind of life. We have to value and honor the children of our church. And finally, y'all, this means that all of us have potential. I don't know if I can't stress this enough, that you have such potential within you to live for God and to do what God wants for you. And so many times we disqualify ourselves. We disqualify ourselves for whatever reason. And if we would just step and walk in faith, God would do amazing things with us. If we would rest in His power for us. And I just want our church, I just want you this morning to see within you, to not see the things that you don't have, but rather see the gift that God has given you and recognize you have such potential to do and to accomplish so much. And it takes time to bring those things out. And it is a process, but it's there. You have it because God's Spirit is with you. And that leads us to really my final thought this morning, which is, how do we get to this place in our life where we elevate the name of Jesus above everything else in our own lives? How can we get to a place where we listen and grasp the potential that we do have within us? And as I read the passage this morning, I read and I see how Peter declares that the man was healed by faith in the name of Jesus. And he begins talking to his fellow Israelites by telling them their common history. He says, this God of Abraham and of Jacob and Isaac, this God of our fathers has glorified Jesus. But you handed him over to be killed. You disowned him. And you will ask that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. And I just think about how Peter has watched this whole drama of Jesus kind of unfold before him. And, you know, when he looks and he sees Jesus, I think there was a time, maybe very early on, when Peter himself wondered about who this Jesus was. And we see in Peter's life, he had his moments of faith and he had his moments of doubt. But he goes and he looks and he sees this Jesus, and he sees that there is a beauty to this man who lived among us, who built his own name and who built his own reputation, loving on those that are overlooked, going to the people that are just nameless and giving them a name. He built his reputation on loving the cast off and the sinners, on those that weren't the best behaved, just like maybe some of us are. Peter looks and he sees Jesus, this man who challenged the supposedly wise and the powerful, yet the self-serving and corrupt leaders. They saw his name as a threat, as a criminal, as someone deserving to be arrested and killed. And when he was killed by the cross. And the cross wasn't just a way to die. The cross was a way to raise you up and to say, you are someone that needs to be looked on with disgrace, that your name means nothing. Your name means nothing. And yet Peter says, my friends, we are witnesses of though this is how you might have seen him, God raised him from the dead. God has made Jesus' name the name above all names, and it is through faith in that name that we can have such power and such incredible blessings into our life. So I think all of us have to come to this place in our life where we decide, what are we going to do with the name of Jesus? Are we going to own that name? Are we going to let that be the name that rests over our life? Let that be the name that rests over all the ways in which we say, I can't, and let that faith challenge those things and bring about our potential? Or are we going to wipe our hands of him and say, it's not for me? We have to come to a place where we decide in our heart that is Jesus who he says he is, or is he just whatever? And my friends, I hope this morning that you would recognize the beauty of the name of Jesus, that you would listen to the voice of God and listen to what he wants for you, to recognize that you don't have to be someone who has it all together to allow God to do mighty things within you, but to rest in the name, in his name over you. Rest in the name that he wants to give you. And I think by doing that, we're going to see God do a lot of mighty things in and through us. Let's pray. Our loving God, Lord, I really hope and pray this morning that as we read this passage and Lord, that maybe I said something that would just really cause us to stop and to think about that maybe the source of our own life, maybe the source of our own faith comes not from within ourselves, not in our own abilities or our own godliness, as Peter says, but comes from the name of Jesus. Comes from the essence of the one who gave everything for us. The one who overcame death, whose very spirit rests with our own. Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to listen and to hear your voice. Give us the faith that we need to continue to trust you when, Lord, maybe it just seems like we can't see a way forward. Give us a faith of a child. And Lord, let the children in our life speak to us. Let us learn from them. Humble us, Lord, that we might not disqualify ourselves from your service or from doing what you want us to do, Lord, but instead bask in your name that has been placed over us through Jesus our Lord. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. I hope this morning that that maybe God is stirring something up within you. And I hope maybe this passage causes you to maybe look back at all the ways in which you have said no to the Lord and maybe approach that differently. And I pray that that in this time, as we sing another song, and that you might maybe do what you need to do before the Lord. If it's sing and worship, if it's come down and pray, if it's come and pray with me or someone else in the church, do it. Do it. Respond as the Lord is leading you.